So, Liam, I've looked at sort of followed the Ballymacs for years, and there was also a connection with the Kilkeels. And I remember you once explained to me, isn't there a family thing with the original prefix of the Kilkeels? Because isn't that from the same farm as well?
Yeah, I was born and reared in a place called Killeagh Laffert, and my mum and dad, Mary and John, and they were farmers, and always kept greyhounds in that house. And my great grandfather was involved in greyhounds, and the picture around this house, someplace of my great grandfather. So it's gone been down there for years and years. And whereas they were farmers, and I'd say, they probably got into a few more dogs from different angles for different reasons. I suppose they had a young family coming up and they had more help around them. And they were dairy farmers, mostly grain. And we grew up, I suppose. And I think I remember my dad getting a dog over from America, a dog called Yellow Ease, and he stood him at stud. And he probably, his own bitches were bred to him. And I think that's where my first dam line bitch came from, was a bitch called Little Blonde, and she produced a bitch called Blonde Slippy, who I bought from my dad. He gave me as a present when I went to work in South Kerry, and really it all stemmed from there. And
She's on
what
the
more?
down line of all your of all your great dogs, isn't she?
Well,
Or a lot of them, anyway.
a lot of them, yes, a lot of them. And obviously, we've changed that a good bit around the places. We bought a lot of young bitches down through the years and improve the lines and things like that. And but it has changed a good bit, but that's where it originated, back where I came from.
Yes, of course. And then looking at your setup in general. How many acres do you have, and how many litters would you intend to rear in a year?
We've roughly 30 acres. We when we came there, I moved to Ballymacillagan, I suppose. Can't think of the exact year, but we bought a smaller holding. I had a schooling track there, first of all, and then I bought about a 4 acre, which was also greyhounds orientated. And maybe after the 4 or 5 years, that a new place came on the market where we are now. And we probably went from small holdings to much bigger holdings. And I think it developed from there, really. I worked as a farm manager for 20 years with a Kerry group, and probably coming to the end of my term, and I changed tack and moved to a new career of getting into greyhounds in a bigger way, and started to breed bitches. Obviously, my family were growing up also, and I suppose they all had their shot at the greyhounds. But three of the lads moved away and got married and immigrated and things like that, and Shane came along, but for a long time, I suppose he was a young man and he didn't really know what he was to follow. But I think the more he got into it, and then we got a little bit more success, and he was obviously grown up mentally and physically, and my sister came back from America, and I asked one time, she was coming and going to America for a while, and I said to her one time when she came home, would she be interested in coming and working for me? And she probably looked at me and said, "What are you going doing?" And I said, I didn't say that, but we had some greyhounds, but I suppose I had thoughts in the back of my head what I was going to do. But it kind of mushroomed from there, really. Intentionally or not intentionally, I'm not sure, but that's where it's gone from.
Yeah. So in a year, how many litters would you expect to produce in a year?
Yeah, we'd have anything from 15 to 20 broods, and I suppose you have to put coursing broods in there with them, because we've kind of gone into that over the last 5 to 10 years, and gone into it in a bigger way. So we would have 20 bitches. All depends really if we can breed them all at one particular time of the year, but we could breed 20 litters a year, maybe
Yeah.
more, as maybe less, depending on the bitches' seasons.
Now, people like Sean and Michael at Dunphy, they would tend not to sell pups as pups. They would all, nearly always look to be selling them on as young dogs, young racing dogs. You sell youngsters as well. You're 12 weeks, that kind of thing.
We do, we don't go out of our way to sell, but if people come into the yard for different reasons, then it would really depend, Flight, on how many was in the litter, and if you had a lot of them at the time and you needed a cash flow and things like that, you'd let them go. It was no big deal. Anyone can come in at any stage, and if they're there, they're sold. And be the same thing with saplings or unraised dogs. There's no hard and strict rule. And there's times we're delighted to sell them, and there are times we're able to cope with them, which depending on capacity and where you're going with kennel space and all that kind of thing.
So in the case of De La Di Da, it really is that kind of that owner's dream, really, of picking him out as a baby and him just growing into what he became.
It is, yeah. And when John came to pick that dog, I said, Shane, go over there and show him the litters of pups in the field. And off he went, and they picked out this particular litter, I don't know why. And I think Shane tells the story that that particular dog was a shy dog in the corner, but for some reason, John McAuliffe went for him. And there's the rest of the story.
Yeah, I've said to Nikki Sava about, because people have this belief that the breeders can kind of pick them out. And Nikki's always kind of said, I wish it was that bloody easy because I would just hold on to the right ones.
Yeah. I'm listening to that story for the last 30 years. And when I go to the UK, they say, you're keeping all the good ones for yourself. But I mean, it's unless there's something kind of a magic wand that I can wave, I mean, you don't pick pups out like that, just like that, you know. But I mean, that John McAuliffe has done it. But I don't believe in that stuff, but I do believe in what happens to him afterwards.
Yes, of course, yeah. And is there anything that any young litters coming through at the moment we should be looking out for?
No particular litter. We'd have a lot of stuff on the ground right now. We probably have 20 to 30 dogs just after qualifying, and but we have to school them more now, and they'll be coming along. We have dogs involved in particular sweepstakes in Cork and Tralee at the moment, but. Anything particular? No, there's nothing that I can stick my finger on and say, watch for this dog. We don't know. I swear to God, we don't know. I'm away from the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. So I'm trying to catch up, and it's not easy. And, you know, everyone is under a bit of pressure because you're missing a staff or two staff members. And so we have a lot of catching up to do right now. And someone of the lads mentioned today that I couldn't believe it. He said coursing is about 12 or 13 weeks away. So, you know, there's a lot coming down the stream.
Yes, of course. And of course, cash outs, you don't have at stud, do you? Because, I mean, he's doing very well as a young stud dog, isn't he?
Yeah, look, a very, very brilliant dog, I thought. You know, what he had done for his age before he unfortunately hurt himself. But, terrible well-bred, obviously, out of Droopy Sydney and Razzle and a dog, I think, with a big future. Obviously, look, everyone can say the same about any Droopy Sydney dog right now, but... Yeah, he's a dog that's strong, good greyhounds, and he wouldn't have a lot of bitches. He's got a lot of night bitches now because he's come to the fore and he has good stuff on the ground, but I think there's plenty more to come from him. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating, they say.
Yeah, and has De La Di Da's dam, does she have any more pups on the ground?
No, not at the minute. No, I know that she missed last time out. I'm not 100% sure. I'm open to correction there now because with all of them and with all that's gone on, I'm I can't think. We have a lot of pups. I was just over there now this evening, just checking them and age-wise and where you're going. You know, we do a lot of shifting around from kennels to paddocks and vice versa. And there's no shortage, I'd put it like that, Jim.
Okay. Just one final piece on the breeding, because one other thing I want to ask you about. In terms of, you, as you say, you sell them from weeks old to racing dogs or even stud dogs in other cases. Which are the in terms of selling racing dogs? Which are the easiest or the hardest to sell? I take it the easiest to sell are the best ones, are they?
Of course, I mean, look, we take dogs at a younger age than most people, I suppose, to Tralee and school them and qualify them. And when they qualify, look, we don't do anything different with any one of them. If they go in and qualify in 29-30, if they qualify in 30-30 or 31-30. But they're so young, there's so much improvement in them. You can't really say to yourself, he's top class, he's middle class, whatever, because you can, you know, with age, different dogs improve, different dogs go backwards. But people then would obviously have their ear to the ground and you know, put their money where their mouth is after that. And, you know, we sell away.
Yeah, but I take it if you have a £50,000 greyhound, he's going to be easier to sell than a £2,000 greyhound, is he?
Ah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that, sir, because everyone wants the fast one. But, you know, I've often seen dogs qualify, you know, real fancy stuff, but, you know, they mightn't stand up afterwards. And vice versa, I've seen dogs qualify in 30 seconds and they might turn out the cream of the crop. I can't even tell you what De La Di Da qualified in. I'd have to get his card. But, I don't think he did anything exceptional, but you know, he was always an improving dog, and I could let that show. So, you know, dogs need age. And I was talking to someone there today from Australia who visits, and he says to me that the earliest they run their dogs is 18, or I think it's 18 months, he said. So you know, there's a lot of improvement, obviously, to come from a 13 or 14 months old pup, so it's just hard to pick him out, you know.
It's very difficult, though, for you, isn't it? Because it's no good you saying, well, I've left this pup till he's 18 months old and he's nothing done, and I think he's going to be X, because people, no, I want to see... I want to pay value for the dog that's doing it, not the dog that might do it. So you don't have a choice other than trying to bring him on a little bit, surely.
Well, of course. And I mean, when your dog qualifies at 13 months, he is what he is. There'd be no questions asked of that dog, apart from being well exercised. And, you know, that's where the little bit of head work has to come into play. And the man that's buying the dog, he's taking a chance. We're taking a chance. You have to kind of stick with the price in the middle of the road and let everyone have a fair crack at the whip. But obviously, you're not going to, you know, you have to pay the bills, you have to pay the staff, and everything, as everyone knows, has gone through the roof right now as regards fees, diesel, cars, insurance, all that kind of stuff. So the costs are rising, and we have to sell a certain amount of these dogs for us to kind of maintain a proper balance sheet.